Happy Sabbath, dear ones, and welcome to our Friday evening church service. Welcome to those that are joining us on the phone and those listening to the recording and those here in the room. And praise God for bringing us safely through another week. Have one announcement to make before we get into our service. Other than praying for our brothers and sisters that are in severe cold, this past week we learned that our main computer had been hacked. There had been some malware that was downloaded onto it, and there was some messing around with at least one of our platforms. And now the main computer is no longer working. So we appreciate your prayers in this. I'm not sure if the computer can be salvageable. It's an old one. Still been getting as much use out of it as possible. It's Windows 7, so that kind of tells you. -2. Definitely. Praying. Kind of tells you the computer's old, and I'm sure the hard drive has seen better times. But appreciate your prayers in that. We're going to see if this next week we can get the problem solved. And if not, we'll probably have to invest in a completely new computer with a very updated operating system. And I don't like the new operating systems. Windows 11, I have not heard good things about. Anyways, so we appreciate your prayers in that. And yeah, 20s in Florida, that is not good, especially for the citrus crops in that area. We'll definitely be keeping you in prayer. So that was the one announcement, and thank you for your prayers. And our opening song for tonight's service is titled Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of no burst on my sight, angels descending, bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Amen. And what a blessed assurance it is to know that Jesus is right here with us, world without end. He'll never leave us or forsake us. And what a comfort that is. In addition, we have the comfort of the Spirit as well. So two comforters. And that is indeed a blessing. And before we get into our study book, who would like to open with prayer?
We could all bow our heads and our hearts and come before our Godhead. Righteous and Heavenly Father, as we come before Thee to give Thee honor and praises, Lord Jesus, we want to thank You for Your love and mercies and tender kindness, Lord Jesus. Thank You for taking us safely through another week. The time is running by so very quickly, dear Father God, that we see as we finish one Sabbath, we feel like we're entering into another, dear Father, but we thank You for Your Spirit mercies and Your love and kindness and Your watchful care, dear Father, throughout the week. Lord, we ask for continued forgiveness, for continued guidance, for Your watchful care continuously of our lives. We pray, Heavenly Father, for those who are sick and afflicted, those that are going through any type of maladies today, those that, who are unhoused, dear Father, those that have no shelter, no food, nowhere to be. May You please be their warmth, dear Father God. May Your Spirit abound with each and every one of us, dear Father God. We know that we may not have things physically, but You are able and just to be able to provide them, dear Father. Please be with those elderlies that are going through any type of maladies today that may not have anyone to help them. May You raise up a help for them, dear Father God, and may You provide for them only in the way that You can. May You continue to be with each and every one of us here, dear Father God. Please help us to be blessed and sanctified by Your words of truth tonight. Help us to dive deep, but open up our eyes and our hearts and our ears and our understanding, dear Father, that we may receive wonderful things out of Your word, and may we be elevated into Your presence, dear Father, and may we be warmth and be filled according to Your perfect will. Please continue to be with the situation that was placed in prayer in regards to the computer, dear Father. Your will be done. We pray for restoration, dear Father, but if You do see it fit that there's a new one, may You please give the patience, the wisdom, and the tenacity to learn it, dear Father. May nothing be lost in being able to do so, dear Father God. We know that You are a wonderful God, and all things work for good for they who love the Lord, and we love You, Lord. So we know whatever You choose, what the outcome is, that it will be to Your perfect will, and Just please continue to take us through. And Lord, keep obey any other malfunctions, dear Father, that may be imminent, dear Father. Let the enemy not be victorious, dear Father, in the work that has to be done and that is being carried out, not just here tonight, but throughout so many who is being blessed by it, dear Father. Please continue to be with each and every one. We, Lord, again, we lift up those who are sick and afflicted, those who are unhoused, dear Father. It's so very cold outside. Here in the city, there has been reported 10 deaths, and we know that's just what the news is saying, that there could be so much more for people who have nowhere to go, nowhere to be, dear Father God. Truly, may your wings of mercies be cover them. And may you also give us a good night's sleep. May we be regenerated, dear Father, for tomorrow and for the Sabbath day. Lord Jesus, we thank you and we love you that we can still come to you freely now, dear Father, to worship you without any fear or anything that can hinder us. We know that there's going to come a time that we may not be able to have this opportunity. But until then, dear Father, help us to be able to store up all the knowledge of you in our minds and our hearts, dear Father God, that when the time come when we can neither buy nor sell, that we may be able to be having things in our storehouse, your word, dear Father, in our storehouse. We thank you and we love you in all things, dear Father God. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen. And thank you, dear sister. We're in a new chapter in our study book. This is Prophets and Kings, chapter 44, titled In the Lion's Den. And it begins at the top of page 539. I wonder what insights we're going to discover in this chapter. When Darius the Median took the throne, formerly occupied by the Babylonian rulers, he at once proceeded to reorganize the government. He set over the kingdom 120 princes, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Now, Daniel was made third ruler in Babylon because he gave the reading and interpretation of the words on the wall there to Belshazzar. And it's very, very rare for a conquering army to come in and keep as one of the main rulers captives. So then why did Darius exalt Daniel, who was third ruler in Babylon, to become one of the three main rulers in the new government, the Median-Persian government, and to be even the head of the three? Why did he do that? Comment says he had heard about what Daniel had done. Very likely. I mean, he probably had heard stories about the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had, and how Daniel was instrumental in interpreting that dream and bringing about the fulfilling of that, or part of that dream, by the Medes and the Persians conquering Babylon. Probably heard a lot more about Daniel, so that could be very possible. He most likely had heard about when Nebuchadnezzar lost his sanity and was 7 years as a beast in the field, and how Daniel kept the kingdom by, we're guessing about that, but Daniel keeping the kingdom ready for Nebuchadnezzar's return. So that could very well be the reason why. Any other thoughts or comments?
I think it was mentioned before that, dear brother, seven blessings, everyone, that everyone is placed in different positions according to God's providence. So the Lord knew. So I think one of what our dear sisters was mentioning that. So I think the Lord knows. The Lord knows who's best for that spot. So Daniel got it.
Yeah, amen. Amen. So whether Darius had heard previously regarding Daniel, or whether the Holy Spirit was impressing him with Daniel, it doesn't really fill in that detail here, but what it does reveal is that Daniel had an excellent spirit. In other words, Darius communed with him in personally. He may have been in a group of individuals, but Darius had personal knowledge about Daniel. He recognized that Daniel was not just a puppet for the Babylonian king, but Daniel was there because of his honesty, his integrity, and his love of God. And that's something that Darius could trust. Plus, Daniel had extensive knowledge of how things ran. So when this new government is being instituted there by Darius, obviously he doesn't want those that had some kind of patriotism there for Babylon and doesn't like any of the conquering individuals coming in. But he determined that Daniel had such a excellent spirit within him that he would be an asset, a great asset to this reorganized government under Darius. So it was probably a combination of all kinds of factors, but especially the spirit impressing him, encouraging him, and that who God wants to be in a certain position is going to be there, as our dear brother brought out. Any other thoughts or comments, dear one? And you know, that in itself speaks marvelously for God's will taking the precedent over the will of man. Because it's usually the pattern of conquering armies back then to kill everyone that was close to the previous throne, and to put in place all of those who they feel are going to be favorable to them, those who they can trust. And so to have a third ruler in Babylon become the near the top ruler in the new government was a miracle in itself. And so it reveals to us that even though the affairs of men could change overnight, yet God's will continues to be what is followed. So none of us have anything to fear about a conquering army coming into our city or into our territory, because God is well able to take care of us, in fact, to promote us if necessary, to have his will accomplished. So there's nothing to fear, which is quite comforting when you think about it. Who would like to read the next paragraph?
The honors bestowed upon Daniel excited the jealousy of the leading men of the kingdom, and they sought for occasion of complaint against him, but they could not find none, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him.
Amen. Amen. That means investigation took place. And it was not a favorable investigation. It was more like a hostile investigation. And they were poring over all aspects connected with Daniel to see if they could find anything to bring a unfavorable complaint. And they could find nothing. Daniel was very careful to make sure that everything he did was above board, was honest, was perfectly righteous within his responsibilities. So all the T's were crossed, all the I's were dotted, every last penny was accounted for. He was absolutely faultless. And that speaks volumes. Yeah, praise God indeed. Any thoughts, comments, insights, dear ones, you'd like to share?
God bless everyone. And I have some things in my mineral book concerning in the beginning part of Daniel's story in the lion, with the lion's den. It talks more about minerals. It gives reminders and a few other lessons that go along with the story. It reads, remember, rocks are made up of special things called minerals. Some rocks have one mineral while others have many different minerals. Character is made up of character quality. Daniel had self-denial, thankfulness, reverence, self-control, orderliness, and many other qualities in his character. And orderliness was the main lesson in Daniel's story concerning the lion's den. It also says the soil has as tiny pieces of minerals in it. There are many, as much as 3,000 different minerals, but only about 100 are well known. And you take it, the other 2,900 are a mystery. And who knows, maybe they'll be discovered or maybe not. But through it all, during Daniel's life, he became well known for serving the God of heaven because of his beautiful character qualities. It also says, do you remember that some people call minerals anything taken from the earth? For example, examples are coal, petroleum, natural gas, and sand. Some parts in food and water, like calcium, iron, and phosphorus, are also called minerals. But mineralogists, or people who study minerals do not consider these the same as rock minerals. Sometimes the same word has different meaning. It is important that our lives give the correct meaning about God and spiritual things. And also, the writer also asks, do you remember the four things that help us to identify minerals and rocks? Well, and here's the list. One is a mineral is found in nature. A diamond found in the ground is a mineral. A diamond made by man is not a mineral. One is natural and one is man-made or artificial. Daniel had the natural graces that come from having the Holy Spirit living in his heart. As we will see, the other presidents had man-made or artificial graces. They acted like they cared about the king, but they really only cared about themselves. Two, a mineral is made of things that were never alive. Coal is not this kind of a mineral because it is made from animals and plants that were once alive. Three, a mineral is always the same wherever it is found. Sand is not this kind of a mineral because it consists of different things when found in different places. This lesson we are studying about Daniel will show us how Daniel was always the same in character, whoever he was, whatever trial came his way. And finally, four, minerals make a hard solid called crystals. Calcium found in kale is not this kind of mineral. It is soft and can be eaten. Like a beautiful crystal, Daniel's character still shines forth from the pages of the Bible. He is one of God's jewels that was formed by the heat and pressure of trials. Malachi 4:17 says, and they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make my jewels, and I will spare them, as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Notice as our story goes on how God spares Daniel. There are several things that help us to identify an orderly person. One is his appearance. Two is the surroundings of his home. Three is the inside of his home. And four, what and how he speaks. And even the word jewel is interpreted in a spiritual way. If the word Jew comes from a root word meaning to worship, to praise, and the term El refers to God. Therefore, a jewel is a spiritual Jew who praises and worships God, like Daniel. He also says is to read Romans 8:28-29. And you see, he also it's spiritual description. So we see all the different kinds of minerals in the world, and not all of them involve rock. Okay. And just all of them have different qualities, ease of how they're used. So Daniel had different qualities that he needed for helping govern Babylon under Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, and even Darius in this story. It's pretty those other advisors, those presidents and princes, is didn't favor him or appreciate what he did. They could have learned more and even learned about God if only their jealousy didn't get the better of them. If they only saw how orderly he was, maybe they would have gotten some inspiration to learn even more about both Daniel's religion and to learn about the one true God, to love him. But alas, like it said in the story, they cared only about themselves and they didn't even care about their own ruler. In fact, later on, we see how they even used his power to eliminate the one man who they thought was in their way. And that being said, there will always be some people who even feel the same way even about us. But we all can follow Daniel's example of being orderly and having all the other character qualities he had, like reverence, self-control, self-denial, and thankfulness. If we all have these things in our lives, then we didn't need to fear about what others think of us or what things may happen in the future. All because we put God first and trusted him always. Nothing bad will happen. All because we trust us him instead of our own nature. And that's the comment I want to give.
Amen. Amen. And you're absolutely right. the same kind of jealousy that was turned towards Daniel and went about investigating his character to see if they could find anything to complain about is still with us today. Yeah, amen. No weapon formed against us will prosper. Praise God. Amen. Amen. But the same jealous spirit is there. And sad to say, even among our own brothers and sisters in this separation movement. The same kind of jealous spirit, searching for anything to complain about. Any kind of speck, any kind of flaw. And if they can't find anything, they twist something to complain about. And they just reveal who's their master, the one who was the accuser from the beginning. So, great point, dear brother Josh. And who knew there could be so much spiritual insight found in nature. I appreciate you sharing, brother. Any other thoughts or comments, dear one? And who would like to read the next paragraph?
Daniel's blameless conduct excited still further the jealousy of his enemies. We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, they were constrained to acknowledge, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God.
Amen. Now this is very interesting here. Because Daniel was blameless, that even more made his enemies jealous. Well, why should they be jealous if Daniel's blameless? Because they weren't blameless. Yeah, due to their evil nature, yes. So they knew that if someone conducted the same investigation into their activities, that there would be found occasion to complain. Because they were not faithful. They were not faultless. So they figured that, well, everybody does something wrong, so we got it. We're sure to find something in Daniel's character and conduct, and when they couldn't find anything, they hated him the more. Because his righteousness was a rebuke to their unrighteousness. And yet, yeah, amen. Same with Christ. Amen. Yeah, amen. They were convicted. They were convicted of their sins, even though Daniel never exposed their sins. Same with Christ. So instead of giving up their warfare, leaving off their envy and jealousy of Daniel, and being at peace with him because he's blameless, right? They go even deeper into their warfare. And they say, the only way we're going to find something to use to bring down Daniel is in his worship of his God. So they knew about the God of Daniel. They knew that this God had a law, and Daniel was keeping that law. So the only way to be able to find something to bring Daniel down was regarding his obedience to God's law. Isn't the same thing prophesied for these last days? Against God's followers? History's repeating, dear ones. There's going to be the same type of jealousy and envy, and it's and the same hatred against God's followers, and they're going to find something concerning the law of God to bring against God's followers. There's going to be, well, we're kind of getting ahead of ourselves, but there's going to be a decree that is passed to keep Sunday holy. And, of course, God's true followers will not keep Sunday holy. They'll keep Saturday holy. Thus, they'll find an accusation against God's followers concerning the law of our God. Yeah, yeah, that's right. It'd be on a global scale this time. Any other comments or thoughts, students?
It just brings to my mind, your brother, what I was just discovered yesterday, talking about this, is that they have the sesquicentennial something coming up, the 200, I can't pronounce that, 250th anniversary of this nation. And it reminds me of what I've discovered, that they're going to have a pilgrimage, a Eucharist pilgrimage, and it is going to end up on July 4th to commemorate one nation under God. And it's coming this year. They're going to kick it off. And one of the proposed things that they want to do is they want to make that mandatory to follow the Sunday of popularity. So the world's Sabbath and not God's Sabbath. And they want anyone that is going to worship as pagans or whatever that may, you know, may be, deport them, and they want anyone else that's not going to follow along, deport them, or worse, imprisonment was mentioned too, and fines. So this is what they're going to start this year to at least kick off a discussion. So this is a very timely topic at this time, especially since we are so close, and yet there is still so much work to be done. So we know that the adversary is at work, and all the pieces are falling into place. Now, we have to develop that kind of character through Christ Jesus, that during that time, we'll be able to stand, no matter what comes, because stand like the brave. So I think that's what we're going to have to really be doing. Oh, July 5th. I'm sorry. Thank you, dear sister.
Amen. Thank you for sharing that, brother. I'll have to dig into that a little more. I was completely unaware that they had anything planned. So thank you for bringing that to my attention. So with Daniel, the law of God was brought into the picture, and Daniel's obedience to the law was made a crime by the state. Same thing's going to happen in these last days. And who would like to read the next paragraph?
Thereupon the presidents and princes, Counseling together, devise a scheme whereby they hope to accomplish the prophet's destruction. They determine to ask the king to sign a decree which they should prepare, forbidding any person in the realm to ask anything of God or man except of Darius the king, for the space of 30 days. A violation of this decree should be punished by casting the offender into a den of lions.
Thank you. Cast into a den of lions with a death decree. But it was death by someone else's actions, not death by a human action. But it still was a death sentence. So why would the other presidents, so two presidents and all the princes, in other words, the head leaders of the realm, except for Daniel, devised a scheme to try and accomplish Daniel's destruction? What did Daniel ever do to them? And the answer is nothing. So why were they so determined to destroy Daniel? Yeah, they're led by Satan. Yeah, that's true. That's true. Satan hates God and Christ. And he hates anything that favors God and Christ, including the law of God. Just because Daniel was loyal to the law of God made them want to destroy him. So they were definitely being led by the devil. So it really didn't matter if it was Daniel in that position or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in that position or some other follower of God in that position. They still would have been hated because it dealt with God and his law. And these individuals were being loyal to God. That's why they wanted them destroyed. So Daniel personally did not do anything against these men. In fact, when the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, wanted to destroy all the wise men, Daniel was the one that said, hey, don't do it. Give me time. So Daniel actually stood up for all of those men, even though they hated him. So Daniel had not done anything against these individuals, these other rulers. And yet they wanted him dead. There was no middle ground. There was no peace. There was no way to have a union. As long as Daniel was there, they had to get rid of them, and they were not going to rest until they had accomplished their purpose. So if you've ever wondered why someone hates you, someone's your enemy, and yet you've never done anything against them, well, I think we have the reasons here. It's because you've chosen to follow God and keep his commandments. And those who hate you have chosen not to follow God and keep his commandments. That's the whole reason why they hate you. So, you know, you say, don't take it personally, but yet it involves your person, right? But there's a bigger issue here. The issue is the devil hates God and his law. And so anyone who follows God and his law is going to feel the hatred of the devil through his agents. So it's not what you've done against them that brings about the hate. It's that you are following God that brings the hatred. And what's sad is some of that hatred exists among those who claim to be following God and keeping his law. Now, Daniel wasn't related to any of the presidents and princes there. They weren't Israelite. There was no kind of kindred connection there. And they hated him. That's a lot easier to deal with, someone who hates you that you have no idea, versus someone that may be your brother and sister in the faith hating you. That's a whole nother issue there. But as we draw closer and closer to the end, the character of all is going to be more and more openly manifested, and by their fruits ye shall know who they're following. You know, you can try and say, well, you know, it really wasn't the law of God that was the reason why. It was because Daniel was twice conquered. Daniel was a captive to Babylon, and now he's a captive to Media Persia. So he's twice a captive, but yet he's exalted above all the others who are freeborn, who are not captive. But it's more than that. And prophecy declares it's going to be more. The central focus will be upon the law of God. And praise God, we have prophecy and we have the correct interpretation of that prophecy. And we have the end result, a death decree. Any thoughts or comments before we go to the next paragraph?
Well, I have another lesson that goes along with this part of the story. It also concerns another mineral. But before that, it reads, these evil men have lied to the king. They said that all the presidents of the kingdom have consulted together to make a firm decree. In Daniel 6:7, Daniel was a president and he was not invited to consult with them on this matter. Satan had led these men to lay this snare for Daniel. They knew that the order of his prayer time was one way they could work to destroy Daniel. Daniel would not neglect his time with God in prayer, in order to obey the king's decree and avoid the lion's den. They all rejoiced that soon their enemy, an enemy they made from Daniel, would be destroyed. And it also says for parents, parallel, though the USA will one day enforce a decree. You find it in The Great Controversy in page 445. It plunges God's people into the time of Jacob's trouble with Satan as a roaring lion accuses the people of God on account of their sins. Look it up in Great Controversy, page 618. And then one of the minerals that we'll talk about for this part is the quartz. It says here, rocks are made from one or more kinds of minerals. Granite is a rock made of three kinds of minerals. quartz, feldspar, and mica. The righteous, orderly characters are made up of prayer, studying, and obeying. Quartz, feldspar, and mica are rock-forming minerals. They're called this because they make rocks, like granite. Because Daniel kept his spiritual life in order, he was as dependable as a granite rock. Quartz is one of the most common rock-forming minerals. It's found in igneous, sedimentary, and metamorphic rocks. The three rocks from the other lessons I read for you guys. The main kinds of quartz rocks are valued as semi-precious stones. Some quartz have no color like ice, and others are white, pink, violet, or gray. A quartz is easily found. It is often in small sand grains in soil. Beach sand is usually full of quartz grains. It is found in most igneous rocks, often in the form of crystals. When crystal quartz is cut just right, it causes a little electrical charge. An electrical charge is what happens when you get shocked when you walk on certain kinds of rugs and then touch a metal object, which I'm pretty sure all of you may have learned of in science classes. The electrical charge that quartz gives makes of it great usefulness in radio, television, and radar. There's not very much natural radio quartz around, so scientists have found a way of growing quartz crystals. The electrical charge that occurs when a piece of quartz is cut can remind us of how the presence tried to cut off the life of Daniel. He showed that he was charged with the energy of the Holy Spirit. If we want to bear up under trial as Daniel did, we must pray that the mighty energies of the Holy Spirit, with all their transforming power, may fall like an electric shock on the soul. Oh, information from the Fifth Testimonies, page 267. Have you ever heard of quartz watches? Someone found out that if quartz is shocked by electricity, it vibrates or moves back and forth. For about exactly 32,768 times a second. That's pretty long, don't you think? Anyway, because they are so regular in their movements, quartz crystals are used in watches. Our God, who created the quartz, is orderly, and he keeps the exact time also. He is trying to tell his people that it is time to get ready, because soon they will have a trial like Daniel did. The government will pass a decree telling them that they cannot worship on the Sabbath. We need to follow Dan's example closely. We must be able to stand alone like he did for true worship. Understanding about quartz electrical charge has helped scientists to explain the mysterious balls of light that rise from the ground in certain areas and move around as if they knew where they were going. As it turned out, these lights happened over a fault line or a crack in the Earth's crust. Underneath were large amounts of quartz. When this quartz was pressed or twisted by pressure or stress, it gave off an electrical charge. The charge then leaped upward into the air where it heated up and began to glow. The ball of light formed was from 2 inches to 3 feet wide. It can make us think of how the stress Daniel went through caused light to streak forth in the darkness of hedonism. That light will shine for us today. Are you walking in it? Pray though all of us can still walk in it. The names of many minerals and rocks depend upon whether or not quartz is present. Quartz is one of the most important rock forming minerals, and orderliness is one of the most important character forming qualities. So we see even the entire lesson from the quartz of how useful it was, both for electricity and how it builds those for minerals like granite. Daniel needed to be orderly and built and had his character built on other qualities in order to stay the good, noble person we read him as in the Bible. And by following his example and keeping everything that we learn from the Bible in our life, even when the decree comes to pass, but we don't know when it will come, we will always have God by our side and has our leader and with him in the mind no matter the outcome of whatever occurs, there's everything will work out because as we put our faith, our belief, our trust in Him all the way. And even if bad men, just like, you know, just like those advisors and presidents, just make you think of many ways is how to silence us or even get rid of us. Even if their plan either succeeds or fails, well, nothing they can do can defeat us since we have God ruling us instead of our own beliefs. And that's the comment I want to give.
Amen. Well, thank you, dear brother. And thank you also for that little bit of insight regarding when earthquakes happen over a field of quartz and quartz is twisted or broken apart, it can generate an electric light that can come above ground and appear out in the air. That answered some questions that I had regarding videos that you see where there's lights that appear out of seemingly nothing, you know, just completely empty space. And usually right around the time of an earthquake. So thank you for helping to solve that little issue there. Yeah, that's right. It's quite a lot to learn about God's amazing creation. Any other thoughts or comments, Sherwin? Let's read one more paragraph before we close tonight. Accordingly, the princes prepared such a decree and presented it to Darius for his signature. So this was pre-planned. This was not something that they went to him and he kind of developed. It's something they had already developed. Continuing. Appealing to his vanity, they persuaded him that the carrying out of this edict would add greatly to his honor and authority. Ignorant of the subtle purpose of the princes, the king did not discern their animosity as revealed in the decree, and, yielding to their flattery, he signed it. Now, here in America, we're not under a theocracy. We're under a democracy. Should be a republic, but we're under a democracy. So in the decree that's going to come dealing with Sunday legislation, it's not just going to be one individual that signs it into law. It's going to be a lot of individuals through the Senate and through the House of Representatives that will bring about the passage of that decree for the president to sign. But his signing it is merely formality because Congress is the one who makes and passes laws. So in the case with Darius, his signature was what was needed for that law to occur. Here in America, it's the House of Representatives and the Senate that both have to agree upon it. Most of the time, just a simple majority, but sometimes has to be a three-fourths majority before anything can become law. So you're still going to have the signature there, but it's actually a lot more involved. But the same thing is going to occur. There is going to be a decree. There's going to be a law of the land, and that law will become universal after America makes it a law first. But we also see cause for hope here because this reveals that Darius did not know about the subtle purpose of his princes and presidents. And if he did, he would not have been in favor of this decree. So that reveals that sometimes God allows things to occur against his people to wake up other individuals who would never have awoken without this event occurring. So just because God allows bad things to happen doesn't mean that everyone connected with that bad thing is really bad. Because here we see that Darius had integrity of heart. He was duped into putting his signature on this. He was misled in this decree. He really didn't know all that was behind it. So, even though Congress passes a law honoring Sunday, legislates it, enforces it, president signs it, doesn't mean that everybody connected with it in Congress is evil. So continue praying for our congressmen, dear ones. Continue praying for the president. Don't give up praying, because there's going to be some leaders in the government that are honest enough in heart that they're going to wake up when that decree is enforced, and they're going to realize that there is indeed a God who has a righteous law that determines the difference between sin and righteousness, and they will come out and stand with God's commandment-keeping people when it comes right down to it. So God's in control. What he allows to occur, even though it's calamity for his people, what he allows to occur serves the purpose of waking individuals up and leading them to make that decision for God or against him. So let the devil roar. That only serves to wake people up. Stand for God, and God will be able to use you, yeah, amen, in rescuing more souls from destruction. Quite encouraging, isn't it? Amen. Just like with the martyrs. Yes. Though you mow us down, our blood is as seed, and many more Christians will spring up. There's nothing that the devil can do against the truth that will only further the cause of truth. So the more people come against the truth, it only causes the truth to shine that much brighter and reach that many more people that would sleep on by without the controversy. Yeah, amen. Revelation 10:11, thou must prophesy again before many people and nations and tongues and kings. Yeah, amen. Isaiah 54:7, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Every tongue that rises against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. Amen. And their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Next time, we'll pick it up at this new paragraph that's about halfway down on 540. that starts out, the enemies of Daniel. And we'll find out more. Any further comments or thoughts or insights, please feel free.
It just reminds me of where I read something in Spirit of Prophecy that the Lord also has angels in different places that appear as men. And so they are going to step up also to fight. And that, I believe, is going to stir people up also to think about getting into the, you know, make them get into the Word of God and find out what's going on. Because I believe that they will have a very clear way of speaking about it. You know, I think that they're going to know how to present it, and it will be posted in the news, and people will hear it and read it, and they'll be like, where's my Bible? Where is my Bible? So I'm hoping that it works that way, because then they can get into the Bible or even talk to whoever their preacher is, pastor is, or whatever the case may be, and ask them questions like, what is this man's talking about, or this woman's talking about? So I'm just thankful that the Lord does have angels in different places too. And within the governments around the world, they are there. So I praise God for that.
Yeah, amen. And that's one thing that's prophesied as well. When we're brought before judges, and I think the Bible says kings, but when we're brought before the great men of the earth to answer for our faith, that will be God's opportunity for reaching the hearts of everyone who's listening. Praise God for the TV and the internet, right? The means of broadcast. Because that's going to be the means that God can use to awaken all kinds of individuals who's listening, who's watching. And you can imagine, you know, the cry is going to go out, all of these disasters, all of these catastrophes, these floods, these hurricanes increasing in intensity is because everyone is not getting back to worshiping God on his Sunday. And here's this Sabbath keeper who refuses to worship on Sunday along with the rest of the world. He's a criminal. He's the cause of all this destruction and sorrow and grieving and death that's happening all around because they will not go along and worship on Sunday. They're obstinate. They're rebellious. They're not a patriot. They're the scourge of society. They only care for themselves. And we caught one, and they're charged with whatever crime they can come up with. They're charged with 100 different crimes. And their trial's coming up. It's going to be televised. Can you imagine how many people are going to be glued to the television? To the internet? Listening to everything, watching everything that occurs in that trial. And when the accused finally gets on the stand to witness for their faith, everyone is going to be quiet to hear every word that comes out for the reason why they're going against the whole world. So you can see God has everything all prepared. And you may be the very one whom God is going to use to share your faith to the whole world. Are you ready for that? Do you have God's word memorized in your heart and mind? Are you accustomed to sharing your faith? Obviously, we don't want to get to that point on the stand in our own strength, right? Oh, I've done it before. I can do it again. We don't want to be that pompous, right? we need to be humble, contrite, self-crucified, so that God can give us the very words we need at the very time they need to be spoken. And God will give us his wisdom that will shoot down every one of our enemies against the truth. So you can see the stage of battle already building. And praise God for allowing us to be his followers in just such a time as this. Only in the strength of Christ could we possibly witness for Christ in a way that will reach hearts. But what a privilege and an honor it will be to stand for God regardless of the cost. Any thoughts or comments, other insights, dear ones, any testimonies you'd like to share? Please go right ahead.
Touching on the area that you were speaking of, dear brother, concerning calamities and the signs of the times that are going on right now, I noticed that they are happening more rapidly and they're more devastating. And so it reminded me as I saw this clip of how many different calamities were taking place. It reminded me as I was I cooking or washing the dishes or something like that? But it came to my thought that, wow, this is what the adversary is going to use. Satan is going to use this kind of stuff happening so frequently by his hand to stir people up against God's people. And it's only going to get worse. The calamities that we're seeing are only going to get worse. So I also looked at that too, and I'm like, well, Lord, you know who your people are, and the Lord already knows who are his. It's up to us to prepare ourselves as best we can. But the Lord Jesus even said that we're to take no thought about what we're going to say. So we just plant the seed in us, which is the word of God, who put that in us, and stay prayed up, and pray for each other, and for each other's loved ones, and our neighbors, as was mentioned before. We need to do that, and the Lord, I believe in my heart, he will take care of the rest. This is where faith really kicks in, I think. And I think it's going to be a trying time if we, you know, whoever may be alive at that time, it will be a trying time, yet I really believe in my heart that if we are standing, anyone who is standing with the Lord, he is your shield. He is your confidant. He is your comfort. He is your strength. The Lord is going to do the talking. We're not going to do much talking. Our mouths may be moving, but it will be the Holy Spirit doing the talking. And I praise God for that. And the strength of, even when it was mentioned before, whether we are called, however we are called to glorify the Lord, whether it be in a prison, out in the country, or by laying down our lives, the Lord will give us strength at that time to endure whatever it is. We be anxious. We may be anxious. Okay, so we might be a little anxious, a little nervous, maybe a little scared. But the Lord has already told us to fear not and neither worry. So I just trust the Lord. We all trust the Lord for that. I'm going to talk about that because that's good.
Yeah, amen. Amen. What we're reading about Daniel here is there was no leading up to that decree. It just was boom, it's there. But prophecy brings out that there's going to be different coercive measures brought about before they get to that big decree of the national Sunday law and then the international Sunday law. So it starts gradually, but it builds to that big decree. Yeah. So you're going to have, it may not start out with a national law. It may start out with communities and then states and then finally national. And then it goes international because the rest of the nations follow in the tread of America. So yeah, we have blue laws on the books, but they're not being enforced and they're not being repealed. So, so some communities are enforcing it, but it's not, countywide. It's only different, cities or, communities. It's not countywide and then it's not statewide and so on. So you can see it's going to start with different laws and community policies and so on being implemented, and then fines, and then other coercive measures, and then it becomes a state law, and so the state now gets involved in it, and then it becomes a national law, and the nation becomes involved in it, and then the world becomes involved in it. Before we get to that big death decree. So there's going to be fines. There's going to be imprisonment. There's going to be a lot of animosity manifested towards Sabbath keepers and God's law in general. Although individuals are going to claim they're getting back to God and keeping his law on Sunday. So you're going to have this back and forth controversy between which day of the week is really God's Sabbath. The state's going to pass it on Sunday, and then others are going to argue God's word. So it's actually going to be a battle between God's word and the word of the state, the word of the nation, the word of the world, and those who find themselves desiring to go along with the state and at the same time go along with God are going to have to make that decision who of the two they're going to side with. And sadly, the majority, vast majority, are going to side on the world against God. The minority, the great minority, are going to side on God against the world. It seems impossible with this supposed land of freedom, right? But they've already repudiated republicanism. That was one of the horns. Republicanism and Protestantism. They're repudiating republicanism. It's a democracy now. It's no longer a republic. And thus, there's no protection to the minority like there would be in a republic. There's only protection for the majority, which is a democracy. just like prophecy has declared.
I tend to think, dear brother, also that that's not necessarily a bad thing, because since they're all going to be debating and talking, it's going to be out there so much. People are going to want to know what the truth is. It reminds me of when, oh my lands, there's a few different things that it reminds me of, but the two key things that it reminds me of is the civil rights movement and the Vietnam War movement. Anti-Vietnam War. Both of those movements, which were different, of course, in their whole economy and understanding of the people, but it still caused people to choose a side, so to speak. They had to speak about what they agreed with and what they didn't agree with. It caused lots of conversation, and it then also brought in, obviously, heavy-handedness by the governments in control at that time. So it was a lot of moral searching was being done during those two times, I believe. I was very, very little, but I still read up on it. So I know that was a really trying time, and that's what comes to my mind, is those two particular times. There are other times too, the whole abolitionist movement and things like that, and slavery. That's another time too that brought people out to talk. So the law of God is definitely going to be on the forefront. And I believe that in the end, that is a very good thing, because people are going to talk about God's word, and people are going to have to figure out, who is Jesus Christ? Who is he really? And then all the other issues, like the non-immortality of the soul, or the health reform, all these different things are going to keep coming up more and more and more. So I think it's all exciting. It's a little bit kind of like, don't know what I'm going to do with that, but I think it's exciting. It's a little fearful in some ways, but it's exciting at the same time. So I don't know what they call that.
Yeah, go ahead, sister.
Okay, thank you. No, I was just going to say also, it kind of brings to mind, even bringing it forward a little more in the pandemic times, when, you know, they were trying to say, oh, you know, you have to have the vaccine, et cetera, et cetera. And if you didn't, I know at that time I was still working. And when they finally made it, quote unquote, mandated that you had to have the vaccine or what have you, if you didn't take it where I was working, they actually deducted money from our each paycheck. I believe it was either $50 or $100. And, you know, that happened, let me see, that was in 2020. And I started working from home in 2020 to 2023. So for 3 years, they were taking money from my account each pay period, which was twice a month. So imagine how much money they were taking. But I was like, with the help of the Lord, no, I'm not going to do that. You know, so I think it's going to come down to now, as we are seeing more and more the rumblings being louder and louder of Sunday, you know, we will see how Revelation 13 is going to be fulfilled. You know, we won't be able to buy, sell, because, okay, are you going to stand with what they say, or are you going to follow with what we're telling you to do? And if you don't, then sadly, as even we're seeing, they are literally killing people in your face and then want you to say, well, who are you going to believe? Me or your lying eyes? You know, we're seeing, sadly, that they are killing literally people just because they're trying to stand for democracy or for truth and to help those that are being oppressed and things like that. And then they create the narrative, well, this person was really a terrorist, and so therefore we're justified in actually murdering them in plain sight. And God help us, God help me, that, you know, guns pointing in my face, will I stand firm for God, you know? So that's my prayer, to be able to stand firm, because, you know, all these things are leading up more and more and more and more and more. louder and louder that, you know, God is coming. And all of these things we know have to take place. And there is no longer, well, it's in the dark and, you know, no, it's in our face now. And we really do have to make the decision. Are we going to stand for God, or are we going to, you know, cower and, you know, just because we're quote unquote afraid of what they might do to us or what we won't be able to do. So God help us. God help me to be able to stand firm for Him.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, they're going to cut off our resources. You can't buy or sell. So that's going to occur before the death decree is implemented. So all this coercion goes, and it builds up to the point you can't buy or sell to try and get you to receive the mark of the beast. And when you don't, it finally will bring about that death decree. But you mentioned about a gun being pointed in your face. Will you have the faith in God to stand firm for Him and the truth at that point? And that brought back to mind a story. I think it took place in the Philippines many years ago, where there was a group of Christian individuals, young individuals, probably in their teens, that were walking from one village to another, and a group of armed men came up to them, recognized they were Christians, and they kind of pointed out one young girl to make a spectacle of for the rest of the little youth group there. And this individual with a gun went right up to the girl and pointed the gun at her forehead and said, "Tell me, do you really believe in Jesus Christ? Is He really your God? Is He going to protect you from my gun?" And she humbly said, "Yes, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He's my Savior. I've chosen to follow Him." And the guy tried to pull the trigger, and the gun wouldn't go off. He tried several times to pull the trigger, and the gun wouldn't go off. So because he couldn't shoot the girl, he tried to hit the girl with the butt of the gun, and his arm, you know, he was coming down, his arm stuck up in the air. And he couldn't bring his arm down to hit the girl. And he finally became so scared, he ran away, and the group of people that was with him ran away as well. So the girl just made a simple confession of her faith in Jesus Christ, and then God did the rest. So that was a witness to the assailants as well as to all of her Christian friends that if you confess Jesus before men, God will confess your name as His son or daughter. So, amen. Yeah, the battle is the Lord's. You don't have to worry about the consequences. All you have to do is stand firm for the truth, for Jesus, and God will take care of the rest. Amen. Yeah, and like the one that was quoted before, no weapon that is formed shall harm thee. Now, we know the martyrs died, so it was God's will for them to witness their faith by death. It was God's will for that young girl to witness her faith by continuing to live. So whether we live or whether we die, we leave up to God. We can rejoice either way because we're a follower of Him. Amen. Stand firm, endure, hold fast. Keep your hand to the plow. Finish that race, right? And praise God for the opportunity and for the blessing of following him all the way to the end. So I wonder what other spiritual insights we're going to find in this chapter. Well, let's sing one song here before we close. Dare to be a Daniel. Standing by a purpose true, heeding God's command. Honor them, the faithful few, all hail to Daniel's band. Dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone. Dare to have a purpose firm, dare to make it known.
Many mighty men are lost, daring not to stand. Who for God had been a host by joining Daniel's band. Dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone. Dare to have a purpose firm, dare to make it known.
Many giants great and tall, stalking through the land, headlong to the earth would fall, if met by Daniel's band. Dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone, dare to have a purpose firm, dare to make it known.
Hold the temperance banner high on to victories grand. Satan and his hosts defy and shout for Daniel's band. Dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone. Dare to have a purpose firm, dare to make it known.
Amen. Christ dared to die for you, to offer you the gift of salvation, of righteousness, of forgiveness of sins, and cleansing from sin. We can dare to stand for him because he is worthy. Yeah, amen. Martin Luther standing alone. And his prayer was, Lord, I don't want to dishonor your word. Speak through me so that your word is glorified. It's a very good prayer. May God's word be glorified in your and my life. And may we indeed stand for him regardless of the cost. And who would like to offer closing prayer?
Dear and gracious Heavenly Father Jesus, we thank you so much for the blessings that you pour out on us on this blessed Sabbath day, for allowing us, by your mercy and grace, the opportunity to come together as brothers and sisters in faith, to worship you, and to learn more of your amazing grace. We pray, dear Lord, that you'll please continue to strengthen us. Help us to stand. Help us to be unwavering when the time should come. But yet, let us not be worried, Lord. Remove from us all anxiousness, for you have already won the victory, and we have that victory in you. So we thank you, dear Lord. I pray, dear Lord, that you please let us all get some good rest tonight. Be with all the families that are here and our loved ones. And help us to be able to be refreshed for tomorrow in our time for worship and meeting with you again. Thank you, dear Lord, for your loving care. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, dear brother. Dear ones, continue growing in grace. Continue building that relationship with God. And
are you still on?
Oh, I'm up. I'm about ready to sing for these guys. Keep looking up. Thy God is still the same today. Keep looking up, he will not fail thee, come what may. Keep looking up, the darkest cloud will roll away. So do not doubt, but keep on looking up.